Right, hello church.
My name's Nick, I'm one of the ministers here. Let's pray before we dive into God's word. Let's pray. Our great God and Father, we thank you again this evening that your love is better than life itself. And as we come, Father, now to you, to your holy, eternal words, we pray that you would show us how we should see ourselves in light of who you are and what you've done for us. Give us eyes to see, Lord, we pray. Amen. Right, love to start with a question. What do you think it means to be spiritual? What do you think it means to be a spiritual person? I take it you're here in church this evening rather than anywhere else. I take it you have some interest in what it means to be spiritual. And it is getting more popular. Look, 20 years ago with the new atheist movement, it was more popular to say that you I consider myself a rational person rather than a spiritual person. But as that movement has kind of dwindled and people have realized it doesn't provide the kind of deeper meaning that people need, it's become more popular to consider yourself, to think about spirituality. And so I wonder for you, what do you think it means to be spiritual? The world around us is throwing loads of different ideas as to what this means. I was going to go to Waterstones in Tunbridge Wells to look at the spirituality section on Wednesday, but my wife had taken the car to take my daughter to a farm. So I went online to a bookshop online, Waterstones Online, and went to their spirituality section, and they had loads of different books. We're throwing loads of interesting messages. So here's one of them, for example. Good vibes, good life. How self-love is the key to unlocking your greatness. That was one of the number one bestsellers in 2021. Millions of copies sold. Or another one, the Goddess Path. 13 steps to becoming your most intuitive, authentic, and powerful self. Step into your feminine power and uncover who you truly are. If that sounds a bit too feminine for you, how about this? The Wall. Smash self-doubt and become the true you. Life-changing strategies to help you demolish fear, seize control, and reach your full potential. It's not just books, they say them in podcast land. If you go to podcasts, I came across this one when I went to the spirituality section. Canny Crystals, which described itself this way. Do you want to know more about attraction, manifesting, crystals, mindset, spirituality? Do you want to learn how to be the best possible version of you? Or perhaps the most successful of any of these was a book called The Power, which describes itself this way. Perfect health, incredible relationships, a life filled with happiness, and all the money you need to have everything you want. The power to have everything good in your life, the power is inside you. Did you notice what all those different books have in common? All these different books, podcasts, about when it comes to spirituality. It's interesting, they keep picking up on the same themes. It's all about power. It's all about now, and it's all about you. Where do you find it? In you. Look inside, look inside, look inside. Now, I think we need to be aware that that is the message that's sort of raining down on us from our culture all the time. We need to be aware of that because over time, that message can start to shape us. A bit like this statue. I found a picture of a statue that was in the rain, has the rain washing over it all the time. What happens? Well, over time, it gets shaped or deformed by the waters rushing over it. Well, likewise, if we're not aware of this, the sort of stream of opinion around us on how to be truly spiritual will shape us, or you might say misshape us, into its pattern. And look, the reason I'm saying all of this is that today we're starting a new series in the book of 1 Corinthians. And it's a letter written 2,000 years ago from an apostle to a church in a place called Corinth. And this church was really interested in what it means to be spiritual. They had a lot of energy, a lot of gifts. They really wanted to be spiritual. But the problem was they were beginning to be shaped by the culture around them into what does that actually mean. So a bit of background on Corinth. Corinth was really, really well known in the ancient world. We might have a picture of it, well, a sort of artist drawing of what it might have looked like coming up. It was a port city, so it was wealthy, and it was known for two things, right? For being religious and for kind of debauchery. And those two things kind of came together. So it was really religious. They were very interested in wisdom, knowledge, spirituality, power. But hand in hand with that, they were also well known. It was a bit like the red light district in Amsterdam. Like they were famous for debauchery. In fact, I found out this week, it was even like a shorthand comment. If you said that someone has gone Corinthian in the ancient world, that was like shorthand for they've become a massive fornicator, basically. Have you heard about Bob? He's gone Corinthian. Like that was this place, right? That was the culture around them, this spirituality and this debauchery. And the problem was it was starting to shape what the Corinthians thought about how can we be spiritual. And we're going to see over the next few weeks, they had a whole raft of issues. It was a bit of a mess, this church. There were divisions in the church around different leaders. There were people in the church suing each other. There was a sexual scandal going on and people that were really proud of it. There were issues about marriage. There were tons and tons of questions. And as the Apostle Paul kind of writes this letter to them, what he wants is for them not to be deformed, shaped by the world around. Instead, he wants, hopefully this next slide's going to come up. He wants them to be reshaped by God. That's what we're calling this series, true spirituality, being reshaped by God. That's what we're going to be looking at over the next few weeks. He wants us to look at all these different issues that we face today through the lens of who God is and what God's done. Why? So that God can reshape us into a people who aren't just obsessed with ourselves and our power, but we can be reshaped into a people of self-giving love. And today here, we get the sort of beginning of his letter. And I wonder, as he sort of greets them in his typical way, did you notice what he kept mentioning as he says hi to them? Have a look down with me at what he keeps talking about. So look at verse 2. To the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of the Lord Jesus. Then look at verse 4. I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you've been enriched in every way. Skip down to verse 8. He will also keep you firm to the end so that you'll be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus. Verse 8. God's faithful, who's called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you see what at this beginning of this letter about what does it mean to be spiritual? What does Paul keep talking about? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. So even before we go any further, right, Paul wants them and us to know true spirituality is not about looking inside at myself, at my power, my potential. Next slide. Paul wants them to know what does it mean to be truly spiritual? It's all about Jesus. Right, he wants them and he wants Christians today to see ourselves through the lens of Christ and what Christ has done for us. So we're just going to see three things that he draws out about this. We're set apart by Christ, we're enriched in Christ, and we'll be held firm to the end by Christ. First thing then, he wants us to know we are set apart by Christ. So we'll dive in to verse 2. This is part of the kind of normal way he starts his letters, greeting people. Look at verse 2 with me. To the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So verse 2 there, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus. See how he describes them there, sanctified. Now look, that word sanctified, It means set apart for special service. So back in the Old Testament, in the temple, there were different items, and some of them were sanctified, were set apart for special use in the worship ceremonies. It's a bit like, did anyone have, maybe your granny had the special china? Do you know what I mean? You've got the everyday stuff, and then you've got the special china that comes out for special occasions, set apart for special use. Same idea. It's what that word sanctified means. Set apart for special service to God. Paul wants the Corinthians and us to know, if you're trusting in Jesus, then you are set apart for special service to God. Notice how he puts it in the second half of the verse, verse 2. Called to be his holy people, together with those everywhere who call on the name of the Lord Jesus. Called to be his holy people. He says, down in verse 14, he talks about a similar thing. How God has called you into fellowship with his Son. That word called there, it doesn't mean like today. It doesn't just mean he's invited us, like he sent us an invitation. No, that word call, it means more like summoned or like called up. It's like an effectual call. Called up to a call that can't be resisted. Christians are those that have been called up to be God's special holy people. Now look, it reminds me, just indulge me for a moment. It reminds me of school. I was about 14 years old. In the dining room, they would have over one of the walls, this massive flag during rugby season. And on the flag, they would have the names of all the people that had been called up to the first rugby team, right? The special ones that had been called up to represent the school and go into battle, as it were, each week on our behalf. And it would hang there. And maybe you can imagine me as a sort of lanky 14-year-old looking longingly up at that flag every lunchtime at these guys that were set apart for this special role, and thinking, longing, hoping, maybe one day I'll be called up, I'll get to be one of them, you know, set apart from the mere mortals. Set apart. Well, look, the Corinthians, a bit like that, they longed to be special, they longed to be set apart spiritually. And what Paul says to them and to us here is, look, verse 2, you are already called to be God's holy people. Your name is already on that flag. You have been set apart by Christ for special service to God. You're not just the same as everybody else in the world around you. Yes, you might have all sorts of problems and struggles in your faith, like the Corinthians definitely did, but you're already set apart by God for special service to him. Now, can I just ask, if you're here this evening and you'd consider yourself a Christian, do you see yourself that way? Do you see yourself as set apart for special service to God? It is the greatest calling of your life. Yeah, we have all sorts of callings, don't we? We're called in all sorts of ways in our lives. But behind all of them, the greatest calling for you and me is this calling into fellowship with Jesus, set apart for special service to him. Is that how you see yourself? When you look at yourself through the lens of Christ, that is something that you will see if you're trusting in him. You are set apart by him. That's the first thing. All right, the next thing in verses 4 to 7, Paul kind of moves on like he normally does in his intros to sort of talk about how he prays for them. And look down at verse 4 with me. Look at how he describes them here. I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge, God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. Point here is that we are enriched by Christ. Notice there, verse 4, God gives them grace in Jesus. And verse 5, that means that they are enriched spiritually by that. And verse 7, that means that they lack nothing. They lack no spiritual gift. Look, the Bible teaches, right, that when someone becomes a Christian, God gives them loads of stuff, right? God gives them forgiveness. God gives you a future hope. God gives you a family in the church. But more than that, the Bible says God gives everyone spiritual gifts. These are spiritual abilities, I suppose you could say, that are designed to help us love and serve other people. Now, the Corinthians, as we'll find out later in the book, got obsessed with spiritual gifts. They were really interested in them. They really, really wanted spiritual gifts. But they kind of got it wrong. They were obsessed with gifts that would make them look impressive as individuals. And later in the book, we'll see, Paul's going to sort of kind of tell them they're totally wrong, that they've misunderstood about spiritual gifts. But interestingly, here, he starts by telling them, look, you long for all these gifts. You've got to realize you're already enriched in Christ. Look at verse 7 with me. He starts by saying, you do not lack any spiritual gift. Now look, that can't be true of any individual, right? No individual can get up and say, I have all of God's gifts. I mean, not even Pete Winston could do that, right? He's not talking to an individual. He's talking to them as a group. As a group, as a community, he's saying, but through Jesus' grace, your lives have been enriched in such a way that together, you lack nothing, in spiritually speaking, nothing that you need to love God and to become a community of self-giving love that shines his love into the world. If you look spiritually at that, he's saying you are rich beyond your wildest dreams. The Bible would say the same to all Christians. You are, spiritually speaking, you are rich. Now again, can I ask, do you see yourself that way? When you think of who you are, do you see yourself as rich? If you look through a worldly lens, probably most of us, no, I mean, maybe sometimes, maybe up and down. But if you look at yourself through the lens of Christ, Paul would say, look, spiritually, you are rich beyond measure. We lack nothing. Now, I think for me, like, I think my problem is, why don't I think of myself this way? I think my problem is, I'm a bit like a toddler, right? Have you ever been to a one-year-old's birthday party? You ever seen this? And everyone kind of gives the toddler presents, right? And they've thought hard and they've probably spent a bit of money and they give them these special, thoughtful, expensive gifts. And what does the toddler do? Well, they unwrap the special gifts. This is an Octonauts truck that fires out Octonauts. If you don't know what that is, lucky you. Okay, but what does the one-year-old do, right? They unwrap the special gift. But then what do they want to play with? The wrapping paper, right? They're obsessed with the wrapping paper. And you can see the adults all around thinking, why on earth did I bother with an expensive gift when they would evidently prefer a piece of crumpled paper? Now look, our problem, or my problem at least, is that like that toddler, we can see so tightly to what the world around us values, to the riches of this world, and pay so little attention to the riches that God gives us in Jesus Christ. Is that true for you? Maybe this is just a moment now for you to consider what really matters to you. What do you really value? Are you playing with the wrapping paper or reaching out for the things that really matter? The spiritual riches that God that lavishes on us in Jesus Christ. We are enriched by Christ. That is how Paul wants Christians to see themselves. We are enriched by Christ. Finally, final point. Jesus holds us firm to the end. Have a look down. We'll go from verse 7 again. Look down at verse 7. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly await for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end, so that you'll be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Christ Jesus, our Lord. Notice there's this focus on the future, this moment that is coming as they wait for Christ to be revealed, as they wait for the day of the Lord Jesus, the return of Christ. See, in the Christian faith, there is this huge emphasis on the future. Yes, in the past, Christ has paid for our sins and we've been saved. Yes, in the present, we're enriched by his Spirit and his gifts. But despite all that, there is this future focus in the Christian faith, this moment when Christ will return. And Paul, he wants the Corinthians to have their focus on that future moment. The Corinthians were getting a bit focused on now, on having a sort of triumphant spiritual life here and now, a bit like those books at the beginning. Do you remember? How can I have my best life now? How can I have all the spiritual power now? The Corinthians were kind of getting into that through the culture around them. And Paul wants them and he wants us to know, no, it's not just about now. You haven't arrived yet. Yes, you're enriched, but there is a greater moment to come. Yes, this world is a wonderful place, but it is a flawed place, still full of sin. We are meant to long for something more. This future day, the return of Christ. It's why, by the way, if you focus, like all those books say, if you focus completely on the now, you're always going to end up disappointed. Because this world is not perfect. It's full of sin still. You're always going to end up disappointed. But no, as we wait for that future day, Paul wants us to have our focus of gravity is not on the here and now, but on this future day. And as we wait for that future day, Paul wants us to know that we will be held firm. We will make it to that wonderful moment when Christ returns. So look at verse 8 with me again. He will also keep you firm to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. You will make it because he's holding you firm. It's an interesting question, isn't it? You know, will I make it as a Christian? You ever asked yourself that? You know, will I make it to the end as a Christian? I mean, if you ask that question and then you look at yourself, I mean, the best you can say, the best I can say is maybe. Because our lives are full of struggle, aren't they? Our Christian lives, just like the Corinthian church was. If you look at yourself, you can't be sure that you're going to make it. But if we look at our future through the lens of Jesus Christ, well, then we see verse 8 that we are held firm. They will be blameless, not because of their performance, but why? Well, verse 9, because God is faithful and he is the one that calls us. Look, it's a little bit like this, like a kid on the monkey bars. I had a moment recently with one of my kids on the monkey bars and I knew that they weren't going to make it. I knew that they didn't have the strength to get them to the end. So what did I do? Well, I walked up and I put my arms around them and I held them firm. I held them firm so they would definitely make it to the end. And what happened? Well, they got about halfway down and then they sort of had a little wobble and they looked at their arms and they looked down at the floor and started going, yeah, like this. And what did I say? I said, no, look at me. Look at my hands. I am holding you firm. I will get you to the end. Keep going. Okay. Well, like that, if you're going to look at yourself and think, can I make it? Maybe. But if you look at yourself through the lens of Christ, what do we see? He is holding us firm so that we will be blameless on that last day. The everlasting arms are underneath you. They will not let you go if you're turning to Christ. Again, can I just ask, when you think of yourself, when you think of your future, do you see yourself that way? And us as a community, do you see us as a community that way? Held firm to the end. Because it changes things if you do. I've got a friend I know, he's in his mid-20s, he lives in London, and he became a Christian 3-4 years ago. And just after he'd become a Christian, he was coming along to the church I was at in London. And I noticed that he suddenly had this this big relaxed smile on his face. Every time I saw him, this big relaxed smile. And we asked him one time in church, like, what is it? Like, what is it for you? You think what's the best thing about having become a Christian? And he said something that's really stuck with me. He said, look, I know now that the story of my life has a happy ending. He said, I've never known that. I've worked so hard at school, at work, at relationships, at stuff outside. I've always worked so hard, but I've never known. I've never been sure. Maybe my life's going to end happily. Maybe it's not. I just don't know. I've always worried about that. He said, but now I know. As I look into my future, I know that behind my daily worries, behind all that, my story, the story of my life, has a happy ending. And it just feels great. He said, there's a guy that has learned to look at himself through the lens of Christ. So what is the invitation to you and me today? As we head into this week, I think that you and I, we're being invited to do the same thing here. I think we're being invited to look at ourselves through the lens of Christ. As you think about who you are, as you think about your future, look through the lens of Christ. What he has done on your behalf. Don't just look inside yourself like all these books and podcasts keep telling us to. Don't just look inside yourself. Look outside of yourself to Jesus Christ, what he has done and is doing and will do for you. That is what makes us who we truly are. Look at yourself through the lens of Christ. Move your focus from inside up to God's. And as we do that, what are you going to see? You will see that you are called and set apart, that you are enriched, and that you are held firm to the end. Praise God. Let me pray. Oh, great God and Father, oh, you know just how much we're constantly being told to look inside ourselves, to focus on ourselves, to be true to ourselves, to become who we're really meant to be in ourselves. And Lord, you know that that does affect us, that does shape us. We are instinctively wanting to always think about ourselves. But Lord, we want you to shape us into a community of self-giving love. We want you to reshape us into your spirituality, your true spirituality. And so, Father, we pray that as we look at these words here and as we head out into the week, you would help us to look at ourselves through the lens of Christ, to look outside to him and what he has done for us and how that changes us past, present, and future. Lord, as we head into this week, please help us to have a sense of who we are in you. Please fill us with confidence in what you've done for us and in your glorious presence among us. We ask in your name and for your glory. Amen.